Ball on the 50-yard line of UBC going left to right here. 20 seconds and counting to go in the ballgame. UBC rushing only 4, dropping 8. Going downfield, jump ball. That is caught inside the 20-yard line. Bennett Stusek, who's been money in this fourth quarter, makes the grab inside the 20.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, by Mark Greshner Photography, by Riviere Ag Seeds out there in the Radville area. Thanks to Paul Riviere and his family for getting on board. Also by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage here in Regina. By Boys Next Door Window Cleaning, Nathan and Landon based out of White City there. By Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn and Corey Zetta Rosniak. Give him a call if you're into grain marketing, grain hauling, or crop insurance. And by SAS Selects Football, Zelko Stefanovic and his wife Deb out there in Moose Jaw, operating their new 7-on-7 league. They just had their first weekend of action, and wow, it was outstanding by the pictures and videos that I saw. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, and I'm talking to the RMF president, Jeff Stusek. Jeff, we have some football on Labor Day weekend, I see, as we've got some RMF action. Tell us about it. Is everything going well so far?
Yeah, we're super excited that we got our games going this weekend. It was great. It was great to see football out there. It's a little bit different. It's nine-man football, so it's just the field's a little tighter, but everything else is pretty normal. We had, for the most part, an announcer and game music, and it went off really well, and the kids are excited about playing football again, and that's why we're doing it.
Yeah, you know what, and it's a return to some normalcy, which it kind of feels good again. Labor Day weekend means football. We didn't get it at Mosaic Stadium, but it means football to me and to a lot of people in this town.
Yeah, there's no doubt. As we, you know, there was some, as we're getting closer to Labor Day and we're getting closer to making a go or no-go decision on the games, I was thinking about Labor Day and not having football, and this is sort of our last piece of it. So super excited that we were able to do it, and coaches were happy, players were happy. You know, we couldn't get everyone in the stands because of health regulations, but our streaming service worked great, so people could dial in online and catch the game. And it's not perfect, but it's football, and given where we're at with COVID, I'm just happy to see some tackling and some throwing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no kidding, and that you could actually play football. Like, even though you had to go down to 9-man, which isn't terrible, at least, we talked about this before. You know, in the Ontario Hockey League, they're thinking 3-on-3, no face-offs, no contact, and you can't be within a stick length. Well, that's not even hockey. So if you had to really modify football, I wouldn't want to see it played. So to go from 12 to 9 is awesome. Hey, I saw something here about a training league for high school players. Tell us about that.
Well, it's really taking advantage of, not taking advantage of a situation, but giving, with the perspective that high school may not be going, it's at least pushed back. We have a field where we got a great facility. We talked to a number of parents. We talked to some coaches and said, why don't we put on a high school camp where we'll get the best coaches. So we got Rams coaches, Thunder coaches, and U16 coaches lined up, and we're doing 9 sessions, positional specific. It's for high school players. It's not equipment, but it's developing skills, getting in shape, getting ready. And if the high schools go ahead, these players are going to be ready to go. And if the high schools don't go ahead, we may continue with a similar program just so high school football players are continuing to play. This, and the purpose of it is not recruiting, although for some of these players, they'll get a chance to work with, like I said, Thunder coaches and Rams coaches and show their stuff a little bit too. And so we think it's a really good idea, and it's taken advantage of the fact that we've got some field space and facility ready to go.
So give us some of the details in terms of how you get involved and when this thing runs.
Sure. ReginaMinorFootball .ca is the best place to grab the information. You could always call Lynn Antonini and get registered. It's for high school players, so grade 9, 10, 11, and 12. It's $139. It's 9 sessions. It runs September 13th to the 22nd, so a fairly intensive 9 days over that 12-day span. Get a bunch of football in, and like I said, if high school then doesn't go ahead late September like they are trying to, then we'll probably introduce something else to sort of fill that time a little bit too. So
I have a tough time believing high school will happen in the fall. How do you feel? What are you hearing?
Yeah, you know, you and I have talked about this. I know Aaron Anderson, the commissioner. I know him. I call him a friend. And he they're doing their best. The challenge that they have is there's another layer in there. There's a school board, school divisions that are involved. And so I don't know if it's going to go ahead. I think they're ready to go ahead. It's just whether that happens or not, I'm not sure. They may try for a spring season. Who the heck knows? As you and I have talked about, we've got to try to fill the gaps where we can safely and all that kind of stuff. And so this was a bit of a response to get high schoolers out there. And maybe there's someone who's really developing and wants to show their stuff. And that's great.
You've always been a forward-thinking guy. I know Len and Kelly are on top of it, and other board members, I'm sure, are on the ball as well. So here's my suggestion or thoughts on this. What about, and you guys run a really good spring league that I've been a part of for a lot of years. What about RMF taking over high school football? Because you already run the, we already do a draft and we run the spring league for a few weeks, okay? What about RMF actually taking football off of the, out of the hands of high school and bringing it under one umbrella under the RMF? And you know, I'd love to see it happen, and I'd love to see us somehow still keep that school rivalry. So instead of being team 1, 2, 3, 4 like we have in RMF, we still keep Lobolis and Campbell and Riffle and Winston, Nolan, O'Neill, and so on and so forth. Are there whispers of that? Has there been discussion of that? Do you think that could be a good idea down the road?
You know, we've talked about it, and not from a takeover standpoint, but more from a, if high schools ever decided not to participate, or that was a choice that they made from a budget standpoint or whatever, that we better be prepared to fill that void, because we can't have, you know, 14 to 17 year old kids not playing football. So you know, we've talked about what that would look like and how that potentially would work. You know, we considered all those things that you just mentioned and how you'd try to retain that school sort of attachment without being at the school. Now, there's a world of logistics that would have to go on. We're just, for the record, we're not interested in taking over high school football. We would just be there as a, maybe a safety net that says, okay, if you guys aren't going ahead, we've got to put something together. And if we did, I know it would be very well run, because our spring league is well run, our leagues are well run, and it'd be thought through, and Kelly would do an amazing job with the equipment or however that would look. And, you know, we would be able to do it. It's just not something, like, we're very respectful of what the high schools are doing, and we want to support what they're doing. But if they decided somewhere down the road not to do it, we would get ourselves in position to be able to fill that space.
And I wasn't trying to put words in your mouth, but you got to be proactive in times like this when we don't have a playbook. Like, you have to be ready to pick up the ball if somebody wants to drop the ball and put it down and say, we're not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I think the challenge with being, you know, a little too aggressive is you don't want unintended consequences. And so, you know, I want the school boards and school divisions to want high school sports.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they don't, that's a whole other story. And then we can start talking about it. But I don't want to be seen as an organization that's taking over the world when something was being served. I always say we have enough problems in the world to solve, never mind someone else's. Now, if they don't, then, you know, we'd get our act together and make sure there's something, and I'm sure it would be high quality stuff. Now, that being said, we want to support what they're doing and make sure they can get that off the ground. I wouldn't want to see a Tom or a O'Neill, and it doesn't matter what schools, the schools that may have some smaller enrollments than some of these kids not play because it's not at the school and all that kind
of stuff. Yeah, 100%. So. Hey, lastly, before I let you go, Jeff Stusek,
sure.
Just a shout out to these coaches who have been coaching these kids, and we've been waiting to see if we can get on the field, and they're chomping at the bit, and they finally get on the field. And to coach now, like to coach when I coached a few years ago, and we've talked about this, it's a different world. Now you got to sanitize, you got to do this, you got to do that. It's even more of a hectic situation for the coach slash parent there. there. So just give a shout out to those volunteer coaches or the parent coaches helping out.
You know, our coaches are always amazing, especially this year. Football coaches deal with uncertainty in a very poor way. We're all terrible at it. As soon as I got the schedule, even at RMF, I would plan every practice and through for the whole season. These guys didn't know if we were having a game right up until days before the game. And so they've been practicing for a month, keeping the players engaged, developing the skills, and they just kept rolling with the punches. And everything from now, almost all the coaches have to physically distance at practice. And, oh, are we practicing 12-man or 9-man? And is specials in or not? And we had all of these uncertainties that we didn't have answers for, not because we weren't trying. It's just we didn't have the data. We didn't have the direction. And so they did an amazing job. We had one team when we were close to sort of saying no go, we had one team that said, our players will continue to practice through the end of September, even if we don't have games, because they're loving it so much. And that says a lot about the coaching staff of, you know, getting these kids, because I don't know if I could keep, you know, players, well, I'm going to have to do that in a couple of weeks, keep the Rams players engaged for, you know, 2 months in practice without a game, you know, to play for. So it's going to be a challenge. And our RMF coaches and managers and COVID officers, we have that new position in the organization there, that they've done an amazing job just being flexible. And so is the RMF board, and so is Lenny, and so is Kelly. And, you know, just to get football off. I don't think people appreciate what it takes to do football. Now they appreciate it in a COVID time, and we're all appreciative of the efforts that have been put in just so we could get games played.
Hey, you just led me down to one more question. What does the COVID officer do? Who is the COVID officer, and what does that area do now? And wow, who would ever thought we'd have to have a pandemic officer?
You know, we created a position. So as you know, RMF has a head coach. They all have assistant coaches. Then there's a manager who handles the sort of details of, you know, running the team, if you will. We now have a safety officer who's really responsible for COVID and the protocols around COVID. And that's everything from awareness to sort of, I'll say, policing and making sure the coaches, you know, stay physically distanced and no one's sharing a water bottle and no parents at the field and all of that stuff that just becomes messy that we're dealing with from a COVID perspective. So they just have a, you know, a heightened awareness of what's happening with COVID. And as the rules change, they're the ones we keep informed or try to keep informed. So it's a sort of special, I'm hoping, 1 year position that we don't need anymore after this.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Jeff, thanks for your time. Always appreciate it.
My pleasure, Michael. Have a good one.
And we wrap up Growing the Game with Ballsy on a somber note, as I'm joined by former Ram great coach Frank McChrystal. Frank, we lost somebody from our locker room here recently, and Dennis Losey, a former teammate of mine, former player of yours, and a colleague in the coaching world, because he helped you coach as well. I coached my son in spring league. Just a sad, sad loss.
It really is, and he is a terrific guy, and you know, some of the things on Facebook that they say about him, the number of people, it's incredible how many people he touched and affected as a teammate and as a classmate and as a coach. You know, he did some great things as a coach too. And it's a really unfortunate and sad loss for our community as a whole.
How tough is it for a guy like you? I mean, you coach. You know, we had another teammate pass away. You know, in the same kind of age class, Greg Treble, a couple of years ago, Dennis Losey passed away. It's got to be tough for a guy like you coaching these guys. And in the case of you know, Dennis, you coached with him. It doesn't seem fair.
You know, Dennis was really involved, and he started coaching with us really quickly after he finished playing. So, like the late 90s, he was coaching with us, and up through the early 2000s, and he did a great job. So, yeah, I mean, you spend lots of time. You know, yourself as a coach, you spend lots of time with those people, and then you go right from player to coach. So it is a lot of time, and he was so valuable as a person for our community that it's even more striking. So, yeah, it's It's a sad thing.
Do you feel like a father figure to a lot of these guys? A lot of us players? I mean, you had some really good words on Facebook, and a lot of people kind of look to you like our Gord Curry. Do you feel like a father figure to guys like this?
I don't know that I guess that would be a question to put to you guys. You know, I don't feel that way. It's kind of weird. I see you more as peers, and then there's a certain part of me that thinks of you back, you know, Michael, like yourself when you played in 92, you know, in 93, and you know, catching the ball and wearing those weird glasses that you used to wear. And so we called you Fearless. So it's kind of a, you know, I go from, I think of you guys as being 20-year-olds, and then I get together with you and, you know, I become very close and good friends with, you know, someone like yourself and Marco Ricci and even Corey Borsa, I would call a friend. So it's a little, I don't.
Corey Borsa, guy you cut five times. You're good friends now. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Hey, Frank, you know, without going too much into it, Greg, you know, we mentioned Greg Treble, Dennis Losey, you know, they kind of struggled behind the scenes with some things. And then I guess towards the end, maybe outwardly with some things, but you had a good message on Facebook. And maybe if you could just kind of in audio form, replay that for us here, because I'll tell you what, we need to reach out to our brothers and our sisters who could be struggling, or we have to reach out if we're struggling.
There's no question. I mean, this is a, as much as everything is, and Canada and Regina is a wonderful place to live, there's still all kinds of challenges that people face and go through. And they're not any different, one person over another. Now, I don't know that anyone is any more lucky than anyone else in those circumstances and situations. But it's important to put the brakes on, I think, and take time to be, as I suggested on Facebook, be kind to yourself and be kind to others. Like, don't judge people. Let understand and care about people. I think the understand is a little tricky because it's hard to understand, but get care about people and care about yourself and recognize and know that regardless of how someone may look publicly, that they're probably going through some struggles and maybe going through some struggles and to make sure that you're there. I mean, some of the times, and we've been through a number of these, the older you get, the more that happens. But I mean, I remember even when my own father died, I had a friend come over. His name was Rod Slade, almost since passed away, and he didn't say anything. All he did was he just sat there with me, and I've always remembered that. And you know, that's like 50 years ago, and I've always remembered that. I think, you know, make sure you care about people. Make sure you care about yourself, and it's all right to reach out and to be vulnerable and to seek help.
Yeah, you were pretty active in trying to help Dennis out. So it's not like, and I'm not trying to minimize it, but if you were heard of somebody else's death and they were kind of three provinces away, it might, you know, it would touch you. You'd have some fond memories. But when you're hands on, when you're trying to help a guy, how much of a gut punch, extra gut punch, was something like this to you?
Well, you know, again, as I suggested, there's no judgment, and there really were, Mike, a lot of people that were available. And, you know, I think the message, too, that his family would be hopeful of is that, you know, it's outwardly, it may look really good, you know, but if it can happen to this person, it can happen to anyone. So, I mean, there are a lot of people available, and it's just a really, really sad thing that it does happen.
You know, Frank, just to wrap up, how would you like, you know, Dennis can't speak for himself. How would you like Dennis Losey to be remembered? Like, you know, you were pretty tight with him.
Well, you know what? He was a really good person, and he was a caring person. And I think the thing that helped him be both of those caring and good is the fact that he was also a really bright guy. He was very smart, not only smart in what he did and how he was either academically or athletically, but he was just really people smart and understood people and really did care about people, and really, he's a guy that didn't judge, that was available and cared about people, and that's, I think that's how you'd want to remember him.
Well, Frank, thanks for this. Appreciate everything you continue to do for fellow players and current players, fellow players like myself, former players. Thanks for this, Frank.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot. Bye.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.